Welcome to the weekly. I'm Jeremy. And again, a solo cast, so no Chris today. If you're watching this visually, of course, you're seeing a frozen, dismayed Chris, but unfortunately, no reaction, no back and forth with Chris this week. It'll just be me. There's a little bit of a scheduling issue, so hopefully we'll get that resolved and be back to normal soon. So this week on the weekly, Mutant Chronicles is dead. Long live the Mutant Chronicles. WizKids and Kid Robot make 1E Monster Manual vinyl minis. Vinyl figures, I guess. Critical Role does Elden Ring. And Curse City is back. As much as a very afterthought. All right, so let's start with the bad news that wasn't even posted on their website. It was posted on Twitter as a JPEG of text. So I don't know where this release came from, but we're talking about Modiphius. So the previous week, I got a notification, an email, promotional email from Modiphius saying they have their custom dice for Mutant Chronicles back in stock. So these are the Dark Symmetry dice, the D6s and the Dark Symmetry 2D20s, the black and red. So those are back in stock. So order now. And there was a little note on that promotion that said, and more news coming soon for the world of Mutant Chronicles. So I was happy because they haven't supported it very heavily. And, you know, we got that release that was basically just they tacked a quick ending onto their living campaign, the materials produced for their living campaign, which never manifested. And so things weren't looking good for Mutant Chronicles, and now they're looking even worse. So it wasn't even an email. It was a Twitter post. That's breaking up by text message, basically, is what this is. So, hi, everyone, it says on Twitter. We have an announcement about the end of Mutant Chronicles 3rd Edition. It's been an amazing diesel punk ride with the power of the Dark Symmetry. So this was February 26th that this was posted. So basically like right after our previous cast. So the JPEG reads, I don't know why they did it this way. In 2013, Modiphius started to work on a reboot of the classic diesel punk role-playing game Mutant Chronicles. Along with it, our in-house 2D20 role-playing system. So Mutant Chronicles was the first use of their 2D20 system. And that's why it remains a little clunky, and maybe that's why they did the conversion for Savage Worlds and things. So this was the first manifestation for good or bad, depending on your opinion of that system. So getting to work with the Mutant Chronicles was a wild experience. I'd bought and played the game since the 90s, so being able to bring this universe back and expand on the story was too much fun, especially for our young company. So very early Modiphius. The project triggered the development of the 2D20 system, and they went on to do Conan, John Carter, Infinity, Dishonored, Fallout, Octoon Cthulhu, and Dune. Yeah, and they keep going. Yeah, Star Trek, and there's even more. And so that was Jay Little, the designer behind Star Wars RPG and X-Wing, that they brought on board to help them build that system. So a professional, all-singing and all-dancing RPG system that could face the rigors of the Dark Symmetry and serve it up for breakfast. So through the 2014 Kickstarter, they ended up funding... Oh, no, that was part of the Kickstarter. 18 books. Oh, so already... Very early on, they were still kind of, I don't know if you guys are going to like this 2D20 thing. So they did fund a Savage Worlds conversion in the original Kickstarter 2014. So 18 books, a GM screen, multiple card decks, RPG miniatures. Yeah, right. They keep doing miniatures. And we roamed the solar system, explored different timelines, revealed never-before-secrets of the Mutant Chronicles universe, never-before-seen secrets, and brought the story to a stunning final climactic battle with the Dark Apostles on Earth. After that, we created the RPG tie-in for Siege of the Citadel and let players take part in the great battles of mankind that mankind would ever face. Right. So that was something that may be a little bit responsible for for this decision. Now, 9 years later, our journey through the Mutant Chronicles has come to an end. We feel like what we created moved the story on so much and filled in a lot of gaps that fans had been asking for, and we realized this is a great time to close the story. It's time to return it to the hands of Cabinet Licensing, who I'm sure will have plans for the future. So, for example, Resonova is doing the new edition of Warzone. We are now placing all remaining Mutant Chronicles stock on 50% discount sale, bar a couple of recent releases. So I think they're their newest PDFs and maybe the dice that they reprinted or recast are not half off. So through our web store. So if you are, have you been hanging on, this is your last chance to pick up Mutant Chronicles 3rd Edition, role-playing game supplements, and accessories. So at the same time, we're making the remaining stock of Siege of the Citadel, the board game, available very soon from the Kickstarter. So whatever stock they had that they had, you know, produced, it's sitting in a warehouse. So from the base game to the various expansions, these are not going to retail. So this will be your last chance to get this too. So I wonder if any of the Kickstarter exclusives, I know a lot of people were really frustrated. The book that printed all of the PDFs that they offered, plus the conversion for the RPG, plus that history. That was the best part of that book. The book was not particularly well made, but that those like 20 pages of history were amazing, that showed the early sketches of Mutant Chronicles and things, all the early Target Games work. So both lines, Siege of the Citadel and 3E of the RPG, will cease sales at the end of June. So grab them when you can. So they're coming off the store, and I guess they're just going into the incinerator. So that's too bad. We had really, that was a big inspiration and a big help, I guess, you know, mentally through the lockdown in early 2020, was working on the lore series for Mutant Chronicles. So, that's a big disappointment. But for some people, I think there were some old school players, like second edition players, that weren't really huge fans of where Modiphius was taking things, or, you know, kind of, they talked about filling in the gaps that were filled in. Some people weren't happy. And one of the things that many people have mentioned very angrily in the comments, with a lot of expletives that I think were caught by language filters, is who the hell is White Star? So if you don't know, White Star is the Modiphius creation where they, I guess the motivation was they wanted to create another playable faction that represented Old Earth. And the Target Games kind of progress of everything, Doom Trooper, and the tabletop RPG and everything kind of ceased at the release of Dark Eden, and Dark Eden was the Tribes of Old Earth. So they just started, they released, you know, miniatures for Warzone 2nd Edition, and books for the, or at least a setting for the RPG. Like, it had just started to really explore this very interesting setting of what the survivors of Old Earth. So what had happened, you know, after the Great Exodus and kind of the exchange, the nuclear exchange between the two sides and kind of the devastation of Earth, who survived and what form did they take? And it was really interesting and very savage, you know, kind of a, you know, almost a dark sun, you know, kind of situation, because the radiation had changed people. And they'd reduced to themselves to these tribes, so these tribes of Old Earth. So Modiphius, to kind of connect some pieces of the story, created the dominant faction, which I guess, you know, they're kind of considering the sixth mega corporation, which they're not really a corporation, but a giant tribe called White Star. And especially now, especially in the current time and day, a Soviet Russian-inspired faction that dominates Old Earth, yeah, whatever. It's not a great choice. So a lot of people were unhappy that this new creation dominated Old Earth and kind of eclipsed. There's mentions of the tribes you know, each of the tribes of Dark Eden in the, you know, White Star setting and even in the campaign. But they are overshadowed tremendously by the Tsarina, who's pictured here, and White Star. So this is a little bit of a, you know, people holding their nose, and it was kind of a little bit of a speed bump, a little bit of a wall that people didn't enjoy the lore that we did so much, because the White Star becomes pretty prominent. You know, they I think they needed an Earth faction that left the Earth, so that's why they kind of developed White Star and tied them to the Brotherhood in an interesting way and tied them to the Ancient Ones and so on and so forth. So with the death of 3E, we also see the death of White Star. So we'll have to decide if we're going to do a White Star-free version of the First Chronicle, so now with 100% less White Star. But we still have, of course, we still have the original versions, but we still have Warzone First Edition, and the new version that Resnova is doing will be set in this the time period of this this book and the second edition of the RPG. And will feature no White Star. So Dark Eden remains intact and the tribes of Old Earth again thrive. So the sons of Rasputin are now ascendant. So yeah, a little bit of a letdown. It really, you know, kind of died a kind of sad, slow death. And we were kind of suspecting just from how the releases were going, because they were mentioning, you know, this is in the works, this may be coming. There were little, in the Modifia magazine, there were little teases about what's coming for Mutant Chronicles. And I guess, you know, they just got distracted with bigger IPs. And, you know, they didn't dance with the girl they brought to the prom. They kind of left her for a sexier Dune or Star Trek Star Trek, a Star Trek type girl. So bigger IPs, I guess, you know, came their way. I guess Dune being the final. All right. So yeah, you've got until June to grab up. And I'm curious to see what they're going to put from the Siege of the Citadel up there, because, they haven't even finished fulfillment of everything from that Kickstarter. I think the chibis, the Soda Pop miniature chibis that they produced, which were pretty funny, but I think that was going way beyond what the scope of Siege of the Citadel as a board game. I don't think those have been fulfilled yet, so I don't know if there's, you know, continuing production delays because of you know, queues at factories and things. So we'll see if they ever finish. So they will be fulfilling miniatures to a dead board game that has ceased production. Interesting enough. So very sorry. So like I said at the beginning, Mutant Chronicles is dead. Long live the Mutant Chronicles. We will see both Warzone and Chronopia return this year as crowdfunded miniatures games. So that's great. It's great that some passionate smaller companies are picking up the ball and are running with it. And we'll see what happens if there's going to be someone that would dare take a shot at a fourth edition RPG and, you know, change the timeline. So we've already had, between the Warzone Resurrection by Protos and the third edition of the Mutant Chronicles RPG, we've already had some irreconcilable kind of, you know, branches in the lore. So, you know, considering what you consider canon and not canon in Mutant Chronicles is kind of up to you and kind of when you discovered them. So it's turning into a bit of a Star Wars as far as what is canon. So there's going to have to be an expanded universe that they delete, I guess, eventually. And that may be Modifius's contributions. The next thing that I noticed that I thought was a little bit amusing and was surprised that this is still a thing is there was a WizKids release, a collaboration that WizKids is doing with Kid Robot. So Kid Robot is kind of the poor man's vinyl Hong Kong, you know, the Hong Kong vinyl figure company. Because if you know, if you buy directly from those designers, the Hong Kong designers that first did the, hip hop inspired, very cool, very limited, very exclusive, very expensive vinyl figures from kind of the 90s and 2000s. Kid Robot kind of came out of that scene. I think they're maybe San Francisco based. I think they're West Coast based. And so they kind of imitate, they have kind of a chibi style. It's a, proto Funko Pop, the Funko Pop kind of distilled that look down to, so all of that creative indie spirit that came from the Hong Kong vinyl scene was kind of reduced to this black, dead-eyed, giant head, fake, Americanized chibi thing that we now know as Funko Pop, that some people are horribly addicted to. So Kid Robot is kind of the earlier version of that. So it's a half step between the actual, artist produced vinyl figures and what became of it, the mass marketed kind of Funko Pop. But they are working with WizKids to produce a set of 3-inch vinyl figures. They're going to be presented in blind boxes to preserve the rarity, as they say, and be collectible. And these miniatures, these figures, are going to be based on the illustrations from the first edition Monster Manual for D&D. So an interesting collaboration, because they do have kind of a chibi look. They're kind of a cute, if they can be made cute, or just a little bit, proportions are a little more childlike, a little squishier. They're a little rounder maybe than some of the illustrations. But they're going to be presented in cases of 24 blind boxes, and I think there's 14 total. And the first set will include a beholder, a displacer beast, a fire elemental, a ghoul, a mimic, a mind flayer, a red dragon, a remorhaz, a roper, a rust monster, a sahogin, a salamander, and a zorn. So some pretty famous, pretty iconic Monster Manual monsters, and they're pretty much recognizable. You can see what they're going for, and they are definitely, the artists, definitely the sculptors, took direct inspiration from those original, black and white line art illustrations, and they're very colorful and very poppy. So yeah, I'm curious, maybe this is for a crowd that we're going to be talking about in a little bit, the kind of younger, newer to the hobby people that enjoy Critical Role and like the kind of pop fun, and also like anime. There's obviously, from the character art that you're seeing a lot online, there are people that are deeply in love with manga and anime that love D&D as well, and those two things have kind of crossbred. So this is another crossbreeding, and the company that does a lot of the pre-painted minis for D&D is now going to do kind of pop vinyl. So enjoy that. And WizKids also revealed that they're going to be releasing Icons of the Realm aspect of Tiamat coming soon to retail. So that's another, that's their pre-painted, non-chibi, non-vinyl inspired series. So more minis. And it's WizKids. Yeah, that's getting pretty crazy. I was seeing like $400 dragon miniatures and things from WizKids. So they're not messing around anymore. They're going for the pocketbooks of the serious collectors. So you'd love to just drop a $400 pre-painted vinyl miniature onto the table as a GM or as a DM. But you better have a very successful Patreon or something, or a good streaming. Wow, because that's a lot. That's a lot to ask. Yeah, I think we were joking about we started playing the the beginning of the Dragon Queen's Horde for 5e. And we're joking that, by the time we got to Tiamat, we'd have to have all chipped in at least $100 to buy the DM a giant Tiamat to drop on the table. All right. So talking about those newer to the hobby fans, they just got another interesting collaboration. So Critical Role on March 1st had a one-shot live stream. And this was a sponsored live stream, which was, yeah, I was a little bit surprised. So I guess it's D&D. I guess it was, you know, it's based on 5e. So just a modified 5e. And it was sponsored by Bandai Namco. So that means they were playing Elden Ring. So I guess FromSoft is owned by Bandai. That's Bandai Namco. That's pretty disturbing. But another sponsor, they seem to like doing this, especially with video game releases. I think they did a Doom Eternal one shot and things like that. So Elden Ring, on March 1st, they did a stream. It's in the archive. And I think by now it's probably in their video on demand on their YouTube channel. But they opened wide the gates to the lands between. And, you know, I guess as a promotion, when was Elden Ring released? I thought it was before March 1st, but maybe, yeah, just trying to, it's still early promotion. But everybody jumped on Elden Ring pretty fast. It's like everything on, everybody that I watch that does any streaming on YouTube, they're all playing Elden Ring. But to promote the game even more, just in case you haven't heard of it, Matt Mercer was running a one-shot based on, so I guess running 5e, but playing in this world. And the cast of this game, the players, included Christiana Ariel, Brennan Lee Mulligan, and Alex Ward. So, yeah, inspired by the highly anticipated but already released Elden Ring, this was a sponsored session. And they also have a group of Tarnished. And also, yeah, so the returning, or I guess maybe familiar players, would be Marisha Ray and Matt Regal. And the special guests were, as I said before, Christina Ariel and Brendan Lee Mulligan and Alexander Ward. And there was some interesting art created by Jessica Nguyen for the promotion that was very dark and thematic, not, you know, the original art, nothing FromSoft like, but a good appropriation. It was characters. It was the character art for the session. And so if you don't recognize some of those guest names, Christina Ariel is the host of the High Republic show that Disney is doing. And Brendan Lee Mulligan is the GM of the Dimension 20 live stream, including a Starstruck Odyssey. So he's an online GM. And I looked him up a little bit, and, you know, an ICB alum and all that good stuff. The theater kids have invaded the hobby. So, yeah, that was a funny thing. They keep crossing over. I mean, you know, there is, with younger fans, I'm sure there's a huge crossover between tabletop and, you know, console or PC gaming, especially fantasy RPGs. So they did it again. And I want to know. It's Bandai Namco. I want to know how many zeros were on that check for the sponsorship. So if you're curious about that and curious kind of how they modified 5e to run Elden Ring, check out their video on demand on their YouTube. But another thing that Critical Role did is celebrate their 7th year. That was surprising. Yeah, they've been doing this for 7 years. And I guess, you know, they did start up pretty small. So it's only maybe the last, 3 or 4 years that they've really become this juggernaut and really kind of, you know, risen to the top of actual plays. But they, to celebrate this, are collaborating with Cinemark, which I think they've done previously. And this is a thing that I think either Mystery Science Theater or Riff Tracks or one of the kind of riffing on movies people, I think, also did. So working with Cinemark, they're going to broadcast kind of a live, because they do digital projection, they're going to do kind of a live event in a theater. So you can buy a theater seat and watch in the cinema on the screen what you would have seen for a live show or on one of their Twitch streams, but kind of as a more collaborative event. So this will be a cinematic event that will be happening in 55 theaters all over the country and all over the U.S. And it will be on March 17th. So March 17th, they will be screening at the theater Campaign 3, Episode 17 will be shown. And that will include the Cinemark, Landmark, and Cinopolis theater chains. So connected theater chains are all probably through digital projection going to be presenting this. But there will also be 3 screenings in Brazil. So I guess Portuguese subtitles? I can't imagine. So yeah, this is they're making it an event, and I guess that's good. They're really, you know, reaching out to fans and giving them something a little bit more deluxe. If you've just watched, you know, Twitch live streams or just watched, you know, their YouTube videos, you know, this is a good place that you can connect with fans of these actual plays. And if you're, you know, enjoying the campaign 3, their third campaign, it could be a lot of fun to kind of hang out and yell at the screen. But yeah, Brazil as well. So tickets for this event are $25. But if you pay $40, you get the super ticket, and the super ticket gets you a t-shirt, which you can throw at the screen. So before you get too excited, this is not actually going to be a live stream, live event. I guess that, you know, the technology is not quite worked out to do that. But it's they've pre-recorded the campaign 3. So these... we're broadcast live, you know, on Twitch, but this show will be filmed in advance. So you're not going to see any bloopers or any technical hiccups as the satellites, you know, are moving as clouds, you know, interrupt the satellite signal. So a quote from the event organizers: following the massive response of our third campaign's theatrical premiere, so I guess the first session, they did the same thing. We knew we wanted to bring our show back to the big screen, because they probably made a lot of money, to where people can gather safely and enjoy the experience collectively. Oh yeah, they're doing this like mid-pandemic. Wow. So that was a quote from Travis Willingham, the CEO of Critical Role. So it only took them 7 years to become a mega corporation built on actual plays. My God. So we're working with some incredible theatrical partners to celebrate our 7th anniversary, 7-year anniversary, which is mind boggling. Yes, it is. The success in that amount of time is. So Cinemark is thrilled once again, I guess this is Cinemark quoted, to welcome Critters to our immersive auditoriums and help Critical Role celebrate their 7-year anniversary in a larger-than-life way. Yes, that was the director of global content strategy. So fans showed up in droves for the premiere event they did for Campaign 3, and we look forward to bringing the shared experience to more of our theaters in the U.S. and to host the inaugural big-screen viewing in Brazil. So, yeah, I guess, are they just going to say, hey, this is going to be in English, so... you know, hope you understand English, or are they going to do some, because it's pre-recorded, so I guess they could do they could transcribe it and actually have a translation on screen, like they do at some of the, you know, theatrical events and things. They, you know, can put kind of projected subtitles. So, yeah, who knows? But, yeah, so there are Brazilian Critters, in case you didn't know. I wonder if Carnival has been influenced by Critical Role, and there's people cosplaying their favorite characters. Oof. All right. So yeah, I thought that was fun. And see, as you can see from Chris's reaction, it's more Critter news. All right. And the last kind of footnote here. We got a notification from Games Workshop, of all people, that, hey, Chris City is back. Yay. So no explanation what happened. They just said our insanely popular, crazy sellout, super wonderful game is back. And what they're doing, starting March 5th, is doing a limited run of Made to Order. So there's been a lot of conspiracy theories and, you know, people trying to piece together what possibly could have happened with supply chain, shipping, logistical Brexit-related tax situations that stopped Curse City dead in its tracks. There was this huge buildup to this release of the Warhammer Quest box game, and this time, you know, Age of Sigmar fantasy setting, Cursed City. So it was a vampire werewolf, you know, Cursed City that your heroes explore, like a tile crawling, you know, similar to the Blackstone Fortress that they did for 40K. And they really, really built this up and were showing off everything and said, you know, we're going to support this. There's going to be, expansions coming just like Blackstone Fortress. Here it is, and get excited. And beautiful miniatures, really fun. Really fun creative stuff. The box, they're board game size boxes, but it's packed with miniatures. It's just a ton of plastic in there and some really beautiful art and, you know, really nice tiles and cards and stuff and custom dice, of course. And it sold out immediately. Not many people were able to get their hands on it. And then it literally just disappeared from the store. It was gone. And I think they kind of unlinked, but still had accessible all of those promotion pages that they had, you know, sent people to. So if you go back into your emails, into your spam folder, you can find the links that took you to this big promotion for this game. And it just disappeared with no word. And there was kind of random, kind of undisciplined people just getting on the social media and answering and saying, yeah, it was limited edition. It was limited run. This was an exclusive game. It's never coming back. It's gone forever. There's all this like just random, ununified, unapproved, probably information that was trying to pacify the upset people. And so the game drifted around, showed up at local game stores, showed up on some online retailers kind of sporadically. But most of the people that were interested in getting it, you know, got locked out of the original pre-order just because, you know, their website is so miserable when things go up on sale. So a huge FOMO for the fans, or they just missed out a huge MO for the fans. And so suddenly, out of nowhere, they said, we're bringing this back for 2 weeks and it's made to order. So everyone that orders it during this 2 weeks is going to get a copy. So made to order kind of a, you know, it's a pre-order and they're going to do another production run. Okay, so then that game will exist. So are you supporting it? Is there going to be more? Are the expansions coming out? Is there anything that, you know, most of that article doesn't say anything. They said, if you want it, get it now. And so they're pushing this really hard. You know, this is your chance to get the game that everybody wanted so badly that sold out. Then mysteriously, we didn't explain why we're not producing it anymore, but now we're producing it. And at the very bottom of this page, they said, by the way, you know, we are going to be continuing to support this game. So, look, later this year, we're gonna be re-releasing it again. So, if you don't get it now, don't worry. I mean, very, you know, small font at the bottom is basically saying, it's okay. This is made to order right now, so you can have it right now if you really, really need it right now. But it's going to come back, and there's going to be expansions. We're going to kind of do the thing we originally planned, but no explanation, like, what is going on. And so I think, it's really frustrating because I think they're so afraid of the, you know, maintaining their stock price and keeping their shareholders from panicking that when catastrophes happen, the fans are, you know, just kept in the dark. And so, yes. Oh, so they said that they will do a full relaunch later this year. So now it's made to order. Get it now. So this is not going to show up at retail or anything. It's only going to be an on-the-web store, made to order. Everyone that orders gets one. I don't know who they think they're satisfying, and especially if they're saying, and we're going to do a relaunch later this year. Yeah, wait till later this year, and that you can actually get it at a retailer for a little bit of a discount. Yeah. Oh, that. So there you go. That's it. So they want one more dip because it didn't make it full to retailers. Like, retailers just got a few boxes. So that's it. They want another full price from their web store. We get all the money, taste of this game. testing, and it also, you know, tests to see how popular it is. So maybe they'll scale their relaunch based on that. But come on, I mean, yeah. So this makes me look forward much more to the crowdfunding campaigns for both Warzone Eternal and Chronopia. So those are both coming very soon. I think this spring. And Curse City can relaunch all it wants. Yeah, we'll see if we ever get an explanation for why or what they did. But yeah, so Curse City is back. So if you really want those miniatures, and they did a really clumsy Age of Sigmar release for the, I don't even remember what faction, I think the vampire faction or whatever, but all of the kind of main villain, the monster figures they made as like a single unit, and they gave stats and you could field them. And so they put those in a box and they did a quick release of those after the failed Cursed City release. So who knows what's going on. And transparency would be nice, a little bit of transparency. I mean, your shareholders aren't that cowardly, are they, that we have to be completely in the dark? But how fitting that a gothic Cursed City is full of darkness and deception. that's the latest nonsense from Games Workshop, who also seem to, they're apologizing now again for Warhammer Plus because there's a delay for another episode of animation. They really had no idea what they were getting into as far as animation production. And especially if you're going to rely on amateurs, I mean, people that if they're doing it passionately for themselves, they're going to work at a different rate, at a different quality than they are when you've put a price tag and a deadline on what they're doing. So yeah, they're really having trouble getting stuff out. There's almost no new animation produced now for Warhammer Plus, and that was the big draw. So more and more fun with the Games Workshop. So that is it for this week. And Chris, hopefully we'll be back as soon as possible next week. If not, then there is no sooner than next week. So next week or the week after. So hopefully I can keep you entertained and informed until then. But we will do this again next week. So if you'd like to support what we're doing with the weekly and Upturn Table, please visit patreon.com/upturntable and become a weakling. So that'll let us know that you're really enjoying the show and want to directly support it. And then there's other tiers of patron that will show, you know, if you like the lore series or just wanted to do some, you know, general low-level support for everything that happens. And upturntable.com is the website, and you can find us on social media at upturntable. We do this live stream every Friday, Japan time, and so Thursday night, North America, on both Twitch, YouTube, and it shows up on Facebook as well. So if you want to catch us there, you can subscribe at one of those places, and we will be celebrating our 2,000th subscriber, reaching 2,000 subscribers. I'll say it that way, very soon. So thank you everyone who's subscribed. And I think we have some, more recent, I think just a few minutes ago, before we started the live stream, there was a subscriber that, the alert, I don't know if it came up, but thank you so much for following us. And that's the best way. So subscribing to one of the channels is the best way to get informed when we go live. You can also become a member. So on YouTube, click that join button and become a YouTube member. And for as little as a dollar, I think it's a dollar something, because I had to do it in yen. You can get some exclusive content. Right now we've got the Mutant Chronicles fiction series and things like that. Yes, here is, there we go. Moz GT, thank you so much for subscribing. And that's a good way to support us as well if you're not interested in Patreon. And you can also, on our website, we have the coffee.com and as well as a PayPal link. So any way that you like to support us, and the easiest, most painless way would just be to use our affiliate link to DriveThruRPG. So anything you buy from DriveThruRPG, we get a little bit of credit, and that helps us helps us buy review copies for things and Helps us just for actual plays and things get additional digital copies of things to help support what we're doing. So thank you so much for joining us. Chris will be back next week, and you can find Chris at HiveMind with Y's, not I's, on social media. And you can find me at Abuse Cartoons. So on Monday evenings, Tuesday afternoons, Japan time, you can see me drawing cartoons. So abusecartoons.com on YouTube and Twitch. So that's all for this week. See you again next week. Goodbye.